Let us pray.
Father in heaven, as we come now to the end of the church year, we come to that anticipation of the return of your Son, just as he has promised. Help us to not become complacent, nor go the way of the world, but help us to be vigilant in watching and praying, and by your grace, through faith in Jesus, ever being ready for that great and glorious day. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we move closer and closer to Jesus' return, I believe the temptation will grow stronger and stronger for us to stop being faithful, to drop our guard, to become complacent, and to go the way of the world. Jesus knew that would be the case. Therefore, he spoke these loving words of instruction and warning a long time ago, and they are even more pertinent for us today than when he spoke them. Going on to the first part of the sermon, I call it Be Aware of the Time, and we pick up in verse 29 of Luke chapter 21. And Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also you, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. So what about summer? Doesn't it give you thoughts of summer? Don't you long for summer on a day like this? I know I do somewhat, but let's think about the seasons for a moment. We do live in a part of the world where we do have four distinct seasons. So now it's fall. It's that time of the year when the trees shed their leaves. Soon it will be winter when the trees are without leaves. Then it will be spring when the trees bud and burst forth with leaves. And what will we know at that time? We will know that summer is near. It's a very simple thing to read the seasons. Well, what about the fullness of God's kingdom? We are members of God's kingdom now through faith in Jesus, but we are certainly not experiencing the fullness of his kingdom. So how can we know when it is coming? Well, just as we have indicators of summertime coming, so God has given us indicators of the fullness of his kingdom. As we think about the evidence we talked about last week with wars, great earthquakes, famines, pestilences, these kinds of activities, they help us to know that the coming of the fullness of the kingdom of God is getting closer and closer and closer. I did check it out, and with the wind speed that they measured there, the wind gusts before the typhoon came into the Philippines, measured at 235 miles per hour. That is a world record then. The old record was on a high mountain, they measured a speed one time of 233 miles per hour, but there's never been a wind that strong recorded. I think God's trying to say something to us. He wants us to know that as these kinds of things intensify, we should be more and more aware that the time is drawing near, and therefore it's more and more important that we are thinking about our relationship with God, rejoicing in Jesus Christ our Savior, and even shining the light of Christ to others before it is too late for them. Even though many may be gripped by fear because of these kinds of things, we through Jesus can do what? We can rest in peace, we can be filled with joy, knowing that our Savior is in control. Knowing that we are saved by the finished work that he has done, and knowing that soon he will rescue us from this sin-filled world. Going on to the second part, I say, realize that some things will continue. Picking up in verse 32, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, this generation will surely not pass away until all has taken place. The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will surely not pass away." So this generation, what did Jesus mean? Is someone still living since the time he said those words? Is that what he meant? By no means. Dr. Kretzmann explained it well with these words. This generation, the race of the Jews, will not lose its identity as a separate race, but retain its characteristics among the nations, in spite of all persecutions, until the end of time. Think about some of the factors that have stood against the Jews during the last approximately 2,000 years. First of all, we think about what happened in AD 70 when the Romans overran Jerusalem. Like we talked about last week, over 1 million of them died at that time. And then, since that time, or at least for nearly 1,900 years, they had no land. So if you have no land, if you're dispersed all over the place, it's easy to kind of be integrated with the other people where you live, to lose your identity, and now that group of people is gone. But yet that hasn't happened. And then think about World War II and think about the Holocaust. You would think that that might have snuffed out that group of people, but yet it didn't. There's still a distinct group of people today. Just as Jesus said it would happen, so it has happened to our day. He wants us to know that even though it would be logical that they would be gone, because he said it, that's why they are here. So all the other things he said, all the other things he promised, no matter how illogical they might seem, we can know they will come to pass. One thing I thought about last week after the sermon that I didn't mention reminded me of what Dr. Giesler has taught me, where when a prophet prophesies, he'll prophesy something that will happen soon, and then he'll also prophesy something that will happen a long way off. So when Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed, many people who heard him say that, they saw that happen in their day. Now, did they see him return? By no means. He hasn't come yet. But yet, because that monumental event happened, we can be certain then that the other events will happen as well. So we should have no doubt about it, no matter how outrageous they might sound. Let's be confident that the things that have been promised will come to pass. And then Jesus talked in here about his words continuing even beyond heaven and earth continuing. We would think, well, heaven and earth, they are rock solid. They're going to last forever. But words come and go. But what did Jesus say again? The heaven and the earth will pass away, but my words will surely not pass away. Jesus wants us to know that his words are more significant and more long-lasting even than heaven and earth itself. We think of the words of Isaiah where he wrote, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." It made me think about this. When today's world pushes the idea of going green to save the earth, what should we be doing as followers of Jesus Christ? We should be pushing the idea of God's truth to save souls. Because the earth is temporary, souls are eternal. Let's focus on what is most important. Again, we go to Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote, "In the midst of the destruction of worlds and the very universe itself, the word of the Lord will stand in eternity as a rock of trust and confidence for all believers." What a great blessing we have, that no matter how difficult things might become, we always have our God who is our rock, and we have his word that we can have full confidence in, come whatever. In the third part, I say, don't become complacent. Verse 34, as I read this section, I want to pick up a little bit on a way to a little more thoroughly explain some of the words. Jesus said, "But watch." In other words, pay attention, give heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. In other words, lest your hearts be burdened with dissipation. What's dissipation? Well, that would be the idea of indulging in the pleasures of life to the extent that we are harmed by that. Is it wrong to enjoy some things in life? By no means. But can we enjoy them so thoroughly that we forget about the things of God and get pulled into the things of the world? By all means. So he says, don't let that happen. Don't let your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares, anxieties, worries of this life. Because if we do that, notice what he says, that day may come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. So what's this idea of watch yourselves? I think that's the opposite of what many are saying today. We live in a world where people say, if it feels good, do it. If it tastes good, eat it. If it's an easy path, then that's the one we should follow. People aren't thinking about things that are tough or difficult. They want things sweet and easy, and yet God is trying to toughen us up a little bit. He knows that tough times are coming. He knows there are great forces that want to pull us away, so he's trying to warn us about such things. He's trying to draw us close. He's trying to get us to dig into his word so that we are ready when these great things happen. But for those who know Jesus, we are called to pay attention to God's word. We are called to pay attention to the signs pointing to Jesus' return. We are called to pay attention to the many traps that have been laid for the purpose of catching us and ripping us away from our Savior. Regarding the topics of gluttony and drunkenness, Dr. Kretzmann warns us that such behavior, notice what he wrote here, makes the Christian unfit for the battle with the powers of darkness. If we knew that in a couple months a great enemy was going to try to come to our home and use physical force to harm us in a great way, we would prepare for that. We would prepare by doing physical exercise. We would prepare by fortifying our home in various ways in order to stop that type of thing from happening. But yet people who go in the other direction of gluttony and drunkenness, all they're doing is becoming lazy. They're going the way of the world. They're not ready for when the attack comes. What did the Bible say? That the devil prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I mean, he wants us to realize that the devil is a very great force, and he wants us to know that in him, though, in his word, centered in Christ, we can stand up against him, but if we try to do it on our own, we are doomed. Regarding the cares of this life and our worries about the future, they threaten, according to Dr. Kretzmann, to fill our hearts and to drive out all trust in the Lord in his gracious providence. Where care becomes supreme, there faith cannot exist. Rather, the Lord would say to us, I am the Lord. I am God Almighty. Trust in me. I will protect you. I will provide for you. Put me first in your life, and I will give you all that you need. But for people who get all concerned about the cares of life, and they say, God, it's not working out. I have needs. So I'm going to put you on the back burner, and I'm going to focus on my needs. Boy, that becomes absolutely the wrong way to go. God wants us to trust in him no matter what. As an animal trap catches unsuspecting animals, so Jesus' return will catch many who are unrepentant, thus without sorrow for their sins and without faith in Jesus as their Savior. As Jesus said, that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap. May that not happen to any one of us. Finally, in the last part, I say, fully rely on God. Going to verse 36, Jesus said, but stay awake. In other words, be alert, keep watch at all times, praying, even asking and begging that you may have strength to escape, to flee away from all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Since Jesus loves us so much, since he gave his life for us, he urges us to keep on watching. Watching what? We are to keep on watching what is going on in the world, and we are to keep on watching his holy word and keep comparing. Okay, Jesus said this would happen. Oh, now I see this happening. He said to watch out for this. Oh, this is something that's trying to pull me in that direction. I don't want to let it happen that way. So we need to keep comparing between the word and the world. He also told us to keep on praying that he would strengthen us to endure all that is to come and to stand in faith before our Savior. Dr. Kretzmann summarized it this way: for unbelievers, he will come as a judge and punish them as his own enemies, but for the believers, he will come as their Savior. So there is a day of judgment coming, but judgment is not a negative thing. When the Lord comes, everyone will stand in judgment, but some will be judged to be righteous because of their relationship with Jesus. Others will be judged to be unrighteous because they rejected Jesus as their Savior. So let us rejoice that we have him as our Savior. At the present time, when many seem to be going the way of the world, may the Lord enable us to see our sin, to be sorry for our sin, to rejoice in his great gift of forgiveness, to be instructed by his holy word, to be strengthened by the Spirit, and to know that in Christ we are ever ready for whenever he comes. And all God's people said, Amen.